And God's word says, we'll read those 8 verses here, the whole chapter, beginning in verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I'll worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou magnified thy word above all thy name. Verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against thy wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And tonight I want to preach a simple thought, praise. Have a word of prayer, and you can be seated. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. I thank you for loving us. Thank you again for the privilege that we have to come before you. I pray you bless this message tonight. Be with it. I thank you again for how good you are to us. Lord, we love you and thank you. Now, all else we ask in your name, amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. All right, let me get right into this evening if I can. Looking at these verses here, if I was to give a theme or a nickname or whatever you want to call it for this chapter, it would be simply be to praise God among the rich and the powerful. To praise God among the rich and powerful. The reason I say that, if you look at the second, look at the end of verse 1, it says this, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. That word gods in this verse, it's not referring to idols. The definition of the verse is not referring to idols or things that you worship like Baal or Molech or things of that nature. But in verse 1, that word God is referring to people in positions of authority like judges or rulers. So again, so he says, I'll praise him before the gods or before those who rule will I sing praise unto thee. Look at the beginning of verse 4, it says this, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord. So whether it's us praising God in the presence of the rulers of this earth or them praising God themselves, God is to be praised among the rich and praised among the powerful. So we should never stop praising his name ever. So that's kind of an introduction. So I just have a few thoughts I want to give to you this evening. Just kind of challenge you, encourage you. Folks, we're living in a very discouraging time, and I'm not trying to be negative, but it's easy to get discouraged. It really is. And I know a lot of people have mentioned to me, and I've seen it in God's Word, one way to stay up, just praise His name. Just praise Him. Just give thanks to Him. Really, honestly, there is much to be thankful for. There really is much to be thankful for. First of all, living in the greatest country on planet Earth. I think the poorest of poor in this country, in most cases, are richer than the richest in other countries. So we are blessed materialistically. We have a lot to be thankful for. So that's kind of a side note there. But let me just give you some thoughts in this matter of praise this evening. Number one, don't be ashamed to praise God even among the rich and powerful. Don't be ashamed to praise God even among the rich and powerful. Keep your finger in Psalm 138. Go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verses 35 to 38. Mark chapter 8, verses 35 to 38, if you would. Mark 8, verse 35 to 38. It says here in verse 35, Mark chapter 8, verse 35 to 38, says this, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now, let me just give you the literal meaning of these verses this evening. In verses 35 to 37, Jesus Christ is referring to the person who will live for the world to the point that he will one day doom his soul to an eternal lake of fire, to hell, because they are worshiping and serving the world instead of yielding their lives to Jesus Christ. He says it very clearly in verse 36 when he says this, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, I am not for Hollywood, I'll never be for Hollywood at all, but one of the most disheartening, discouraging things is people who will give everything to become up on the stage or going on the movies and they'll die and go to a sinner's hell for all eternity. There's no profit in gaining the whole world, losing their own soul. So in these verses here, verse 35 to 37, he's making it very clear that there's no profit, or the person who tries to get the world will lose everything, lose their soul for all eternity. So when you get to verse 38, you know that this verse 38, is a continuation of what the thought was in verse 35 to 37. The reason why, because verse 38 says this, it says, "Whosoever therefore," that word "therefore," it literally means referring to something previously said. So in verse 35 to 37, it's talking about a person who who's not saved, will try to take everything in the world materialistically and lose their soul for all eternity. And in verse 38, having said that, I believe when Jesus Christ says that a person is ashamed of him and his words, it's referencing the fact that a person does not desire to be saved because their affection lies to this world. They're ashamed of Jesus Christ. They're ashamed of Christianity as a whole, looking at it as some kind of disease or inferiority. And as a result, Jesus Christ will be ashamed of them. It's like he'll say, "I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So that's the kind of literal meaning of those verses, especially in verse 38, being ashamed of that. But if I can make an application from this, for us as born-again saved Christians, we should never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. That's actually an oxymoron. An ashamed Christian is a complete opposite. It should never be. Those two words should never be in the same sentence. We're saved and going to heaven because of Jesus Christ, and we're ashamed of that? We're ashamed to be called a Christian? If I can, let me show you something. Go to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, if you would. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5. It says this. You're going to see a familiar word in these verses. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." So in verse 3, we read that children are an heritage of the Lord, meaning they're God's property given from God to us. Folks, listen, if you are blessed with children, they're God's. Those are God's kids. Why does the parent raise their kids? To give them back to God. I remember this. And I saw the tears in his eyes. I remember when I was working with Pastor Angel, and his son Ben was going half around the world to Madagascar, eastern side off of South Africa. I remember that little island there. And I remember, and when Ben was going there, when I was still on staff there in Bourbonnais, they had a big, huge coup d'etat going on. There was a big hostility. The government was going crazy, almost like a civil war was breaking out. And there's Ben and Ashley, and I think it was only one or two kids at that time, in the middle of this foreign area. And then a Pastor Angel said this. He said, "I would rather my son be the center of God's will halfway around the world than living next door to me outside of God's will." And I say amen to that. Look, folks, I'm adamant at this because I have five children. I want all of them in the center of God's will. If it's God's will to send them to Japan, then man, praise God, I'll see you in heaven. Amen. I'll, of course, see you in furlough, too. Go visit you often, much as I can. Skype, everything else. But anyway, but you know what I'm saying? Listen, that's the idea. They're God's kids. And they're a heritage of the Lord, a God's property given to God from God to us. It's our job as Christian parents to raise them for him. And by the way, we will answer to God for that, how we raised our children. And then in verse 5, it says, "As happy as a man had his quiver full of them." Them mean the children that were in verse 3 to 4. And verse 5 continues, "They," meaning the children, "shall not," listen, it says those kids, "they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." He's saying, listen, that one of the goals, if I can put this, of a parent is to raise our children so they are not ashamed of being a Christian, but they will have the wherewithal of talking to the enemies, talking to the lost. Listen, praise God for the parents desire to raise their kids to have a burden for souls. I know we can't, look, you can't force your kids. You have all have a free will. I understand that. But praise the Lord for the parent who has the burden themselves to be a witness. Because the parent has no burden to be a witness. A parent has no desire to invite people to church to be a witness or just to praise God throughout the day. That could very well possibly trickle down their children. Look, we're here. I remember when I was back, and I'm on the kids here for a second. I remember back when I was a youth pastor, I had started a ministry in a public school to reach the kids. And I was 38 maybe, 39 years old, 37, something like that, 36, somewhere around the second half of the 36, 37, something like that, how old I was. I remember going to public school. I was removed from public school for years. I was shocked at the language I heard in the public school system. Now, I'm not trying to belittle those who bring the kids to public school. You hear that everywhere. You go to Walmart. I mean, you're in Walmart, and the cashier is talking like that. I'm not trying to tear down anyone who brings the kids to public school by any means. But I remember I started a ministry there. I remember I was trying to reach these kids, and hearing the language of that. And then you go and you turn the video games on the video games. You have all these. You all look. Hey, I'm talking to myself like I'm talking to you. So I'm a parent myself. So I am no better. None. I'll just say it again. I am no better. I'm not trying to say I'm any better than anyone else in this room. But when our kids play video games, parents, do we even know what they're playing? When our kids watch movies, you know what they're watching? Look, it's okay if some people get upset with me. That's fine. But I'm telling you what, my friend. Look, my point I'm trying to make is we're supposed to be praising God, and if, as parents, we're letting our kids watch trash and be around trash, and as parents, we're never praising God in front of our children. We're never rejoicing the Lord in front of our kids. They're never seeing anything positive spiritually. What's that going to do to our children? It's something you got to think about. Look, if they're God's kids, and He gave them us to raise for Him, that means parents, we're going to stand before God one day and give an account for those children. Look, I'm no better. I'm not trying to be any better than this room. We're in the same boat, my friend. There's no guarantee with my five kids. There's no guarantee with your children. You understand? So I'm just feeling something tonight. I may have stepped on someone's toes, but listen, I'm telling you, I am no better, and we're all equal in this thing and trying to raise our kids for God. But listen, my parents, we got to be praising the Lord from our children. There's so much junk out there. I'm thankful to pastor. I love pastoring. I won't do nothing else but pastor. Obviously, I can't tell jokes, so. My burden will always be for young people. I love pastoring. My burden will always be for young people. My opinion is the only opinion you take to throw in the trash can if you want. I believe one of the hardest times of life for a person is those teenage years. I believe that with all my heart. One reason is I went through it. The peer pressure today. I mean, back when I was, I'm just going to follow the Holy Spirit. If I'm here all night, I'm not here all night at one point. But I remember back when I was in high school. The drug that was the popular drug was marijuana. Now it's legal. It's still a sin. Amen. Now, heroin's everywhere. Although I don't know, other drugs are out there. There's tons of them. It's so easy to get a hold of it. I mean, and I know it's always been some kind of vice out there. I'm not trying to be Mr. Negative. I'm not trying to be Mr. Gloom and Doom. I'm not trying to hurt you. I promise you, parents, I'm not here to say you're horrible, wicked. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just concerned for the kids of Grace Baptist Church. I'm not pinpointing anyone. I'm not necessarily saying someone in this room is living wickedly. I'm not trying to necessarily say that. Don't misunderstand me. But the point I'm trying to make is, good night, parents. If we're not praising God, there's so much evil out there. Don't expect someone else to do that. Like I said, I'm just passionate for the kids. That's never going to change. So, one of the goals of us parents is to raise our children so that those kids are not ashamed of being a Christian. They'll have the wherewithal of talking to the enemies, talking to the lost. But again, if us parents were ashamed of being a witness, if we can't even stand up for Christ, and there's no persecution. We don't know what persecution even is. Take a stand for right. I'll be honest. I was scared to death when this happened. I'll tell you. You can say, "Well, Pastor, you're a wimp." Maybe so. I was in a barber shop. The barber was cutting my hair, and I was on staff there in Bourbonnais. And we talked, and he said, "JC," to Jesus Christ, but he did it in a rhetorical way, derogatory manner. Excuse me. He did it as a customer. I didn't say anything. Come here again the second time. He did it a second time. The Holy Spirit said, "You better say something." I said, "Sir, I want to thank you for cutting my hair. It was a great haircut, but do you mind me doing a favor? I'm a Christian. Please don't say the name of Jesus Christ like that. I appreciate it. I'm no better than you." I was very careful. I wasn't trying to be Mr. Pharisaical. I said, "I appreciate it if you don't say that, because that's my Savior." He was shocked. He wasn't mad. He said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm That's fine. Thank you, haircut. I gave him a big tip and everything. I wasn't trying to be Mr. Pharisaical, but look, you can say what you want, man. You can say, "Well, I'm going to go with the flow." Okay, go with the flow and see what happens. You know, we're living in a day and age, you don't want to rock the boat. And our kids are seeing that. That's what's going on. Well, you know, It's gay pride, this, that, and everything. I don't want to say anything about homosexuality. Rock the boat. And so our kids see that. And they grew up thinking it was okay. I'm just burdened for the next generation. And I think it's a shame, us as parents, we don't take a stand for right. Children. Not only, listen, hey, it's easy to instill Christian values inside the walls of your house. You have some control. But if we can't even do that, or it's easier, we're not going to do it out there. Psalm 9:14 says this, "That I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I'll rejoice in thy salvation." The psalmist here, I think it was David. I don't look at the beginning of the chapter there. But the psalmist says, "Man, I'm praising God for my salvation." Friend, do you understand where you're going? Look, do you get it? Do we get it? Do I get it? We're going to heaven. We're not going to see hell because of Jesus Christ. And we can't even take a stand for them. Because we're afraid of what our neighbor's going to say. Your neighbor ain't dying on the cross for your sins. You can say I'm overreacting. You can say I'm some kind of a weirdo. I sleep well at night. I really do. Actually, I think I fell asleep before I hit the pillow last night, to be honest with you. I remember him getting in bed. I woke up, whoa. Praise the Lord, it's my alarm clock. I was like, "Hey, look." So I'm not. But you understand? Listen, hey, we're Christians. So going back to Psalm 138, verse 1, David says, "I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods, while I sing praise unto thee." He said it. He said, "I will sing praise before the gods, while I sing praise." So listen. The God, those leaders, those judges are in my presence. He said, "I'm going to sing praise to you, God. I don't care how powerful the person is. I don't care if it's the president of the United States. I don't care if it's the judge. I don't care if it's the mayor, the governor. I don't care if it's my own children. I don't care who it is. I'm going to praise your name, God." That's what I'm talking about. So again, my first thought, again, reiterating, don't be ashamed to praise God, even among the rich and powerful. Number two, there are two different groups of people that we can praise. There are two different groups of people that we can praise. I will explain this to you. Go to Luke chapter 19, verse 37 to 40. Luke 19, verse 37 to 40. Parents, you know I love you. I hope you understand that. I'm not trying to hurt anyone tonight. There's no guarantee our kids can turn out right, my friend. And if we do everything, we can do everything we can to make sure our kids do that. Thanking God for our children. That was part of my last point. There are two different groups of people we can praise. Luke 19, verse 37 to 40, it says this. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitudes said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." My friend, listen, if you look at these stories here, there are three different groups of people mentioned. The first group is singular. It is Jesus Christ. He's the first person or group of people mentioned. You see him in verse 37, refers to the word he. The second group of people is the multitude of disciples. They're also mentioned beginning in verse 37 as well. And then the third group of people is the Pharisees. They're the ones you read about in verse 39. So you have three groups of people here: Jesus Christ, the disciples, and the Pharisees. Now, halfway through verse 37 and all the way through 38, the disciples are lifting up the praise of Jesus Christ. It says this, beginning halfway through verse 37. "The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with loud voice for all the mighty works that he had seen, saying, 'Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" Obviously, this group of people, they're praising God. It's very obvious they're praising God. And however, you see the opposite reaction from the Pharisees. Again, halfway through verse 39, they say this to Jesus Christ, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." Pretty much what the Pharisees were saying was, "Jesus Christ, tell your disciples to stop praising you." These are the ones who would not praise God. Now, so in these verses, you have two opinions, if you would. Those who were praising Jesus Christ and those who were not. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, "Pastor, you mentioned the second point. There are two groups of people we can praise. Obviously, I'm only seeing one group. You're only praising Jesus Christ. And the disciples are the only one doing that. The Pharisees are not praising anyone." The Pharisees obviously would not praise Jesus Christ. They hated Jesus Christ. They hated the fact who he was, what he stood for. But my friend, listen, these Pharisees were praising someone. They were praising themselves. They were praising themselves. Go to John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. John 12, verse 42 and 43, if you would. It says this, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." So we see here a situation of people here about the Pharisees, the people who loved the praise of men more than the praise of God, about the Pharisees there. The Pharisees, these Pharisees were wearing the outfits. They lifting up the long prayers. The Pharisees were the ones who loved the attention from the people. And they hated the fact that the spotlight was off of them and on Jesus Christ. They hated that. Now listen, I'm not saying in this room that we're Pharisees tonight. Don't misunderstand me. But the point I'm trying to make is simply this. We're living in a society where it's all about me. It's all about me. There's a type of person out there who claims to be a saved Christian and has a mentality, as long as I'm happy, that's what counts. Sure, I'll praise God if I have money in the bank, nice clothes on my back, and my health is doing fine. But the minute I lose any of those and life gets difficult, I am no longer praising God. That's a person who prays himself. Again, there's two groups of people we can praise. We can praise God. You're number one. You're the one I praise. Listen, we sing the praises in this hymn book, folks. We sing them. Do we believe them? Look, I'm just so passionate tonight about this matter of praising God. Look, it's so easy to get mechanical. I mentioned on Sunday night the Lord's Prayer. And a group of a lot of people out there in different churches will pray it. and they it's so mechanical, so memorized, they can be thinking about what they're going to bake for supper that night, and while they're reiterating the reciting the Lord's Prayer because they've memorized it. It's nothing but mechanical. And we sing these praises, but we do the same thing at times. I think it was Psalm or hymn number 23, if my memory is correct, which usually it's not. But yeah, to God be the glory. A lot of us know this by heart, and I'm not trying to criticize necessarily. Don't misunderstand me. We know to the point where we can sing it while thinking about something else. And the point I'm trying to make to you is simply this, friend. Look, we can say we praise God, but do you mean it? Do you mean it? Are you willing to praise God to the point when things get rough, you're still going to praise God? Look, that's when you know. That's when you know you're truly a person who's a born Christian. I told you when I first got to Heritage Baptist Church, after I got saved there, when I was 21, 23, I got to Heritage Baptist Church. I remember walking in there, and after being a few months, I came across a few senior saints, some elderly folks that were in the church, and I'd hear the stories about how they went through all these difficult situations and trials. They had a smile on their face. They were praising the Lord. How in the world were they praising God after all those trials? Because they really meant what they said. Look, I'm talking to you, friend. I'm talking to me tonight. Is our Christianity real? Is it real? I'm talking to the kids back there as well. Because you guys, in 10 years, you'll be adults. Don't wait until you're 21 to get it in your heart, gang. I'm serious about that. So you can praise God or you can praise yourself. And what I mean by praise yourself is, as long as I'm okay, I'll praise the Lord. But once what I'm doing gets messed up, sorry, God, I'm putting you on the shelf because I'm number one. I'll go to church, read my Bible until it causes discomfort in my life. When people think I'm weird, when people think that I'm weird for going to church three times a week, or people think I'm weird because I'm separated and I dress like a Christian, and I act like a Christian. You actually know I'm Christian, not by the way on the inside, but on the outside. And praise God for you ladies who dress right. I God bless you. But when people start criticizing me because I live a separated lifestyle, I'm no longer interested in being associated with God and praising Him. That's a person where, really, you're praising yourself. You might say it's strong. That's the truth. None of us are perfect. We all fall every day. I'm not trying to say that we have to be perfect. Don't misunderstand me. All I'm asking you, there's two groups of people, those who praise God and those who praise themselves. Which one are we? And there are many times you're going to get weak. There are many times someone's going to say something and you just don't have the boldness to stand up. I've been there. I'll raise my hand. I'll be first to raise my hand. There are times someone says something and the Holy Spirit says, man, stand up for God. And you don't. Hey, I pray for you folks who work out there in the world where you're in situations where you're the Christian, you're the one sheep, around a whole bunch of wolves around you. How are you going to act? I guess it shows who you're going to praise. Him, huh? Don't be ashamed to praise God even among the rich and powerful. Number two, there are two different groups that we can praise. We can praise God, praise ourselves. And last one, I'm done. I want to end on a positive note for you. There is coming a day when everyone is going to praise God. Go to Matthew 27:29. Probably this verse might not make sense to you, but I'll explain it to you so you understand where I'm coming from. I know most of you think I'm going to Philippians 2. I'm going to hit that. But Matthew 27:29 is where I want to start. There's coming a day when everyone is going to praise God. This is when Jesus Christ is on the cross. And when they had platted the crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And listen, And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." You see, folks, to put it like this, we know Jesus Christ on the cross. This is a good picture of today. There are people who are openly mocking God. People who take God's name in vain, his and Jesus Christ. I said it before, OMG, oh my God, is just as cuss word as Jesus Christ. They're both cuss words. No Christian should be saying, oh my God. Same thing. People taking God's and Jesus' name in Christ in vain. People shaking their fist at God or saying with a pious attitude, there is no God. And it stings. It should. That's your Savior. Remember, I'll never forget. It was like, I sent a letter out to Secretary of State's office in Springfield. Because remember last Christmas in Springfield, Illinois, when they had the big manger scene there, like every year? It was the first year that they let the Church of Satan put their little thing out. And the Church of Satan said, I'm trying to make sure I have it right. I know the picture was a black marble box. On top of it was a hand coming out with an apple in the hand and a snake around that. Everyone knows what it represented. And it said, I think what it said is, knowledge is the greatest gift. What they're trying to say was, the person who knew, Eve, she did it right. Because Satan told her the truth. Last time I checked, Romans 5:12 says, as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, for death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12 makes it very clear, because what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, that's where sin started. That was not a good day. The point I'm trying to make here is we're living in a day and age where just like Matthew 27:29 is going on, where people are mocking God, are bowing to the knee, mocking him. And we're seeing it everywhere. And we're seeing even people who say they're Christians, they're not acting like Christians. And you're saying, what's going on? Is there anyone actually willing to take a stand for Christ, want to live right and do right? And you may get frustrated, or you get beat down even. And you say, anyone who truly loves God, I praise God for Grace Baptist Church. I do. I thank God for you folks. You folks encourage me. I love going to the house of God. I don't care if it's one person or 1 million people in this church. I love when you. I just love being around you people. You folks pump me up. I mean that. And I appreciate you. Because we're seeing all these people mocking God out there. And for us who truly love God, it stings when you hear it, when people mock him, when they tear his name down. And it should never get to the point where you get used to hearing it. People are blasphemous to him with their attitudes and words. My friend. Hey, praise God, it's all going to change one day. Amen. Psalm 138, verse 4 says this. Psalm 138, that's a chapter we started with tonight. It says this, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. There's coming a day when they're all going to praise him. And Philippians 2, verse 10 to 11, some of you know these by heart. It says this, that at the name of Jesus, hey, at every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's coming a day, my friend, when they're all going to bow and they're all going to praise God and say, praise God. Can't wait for that day. It's coming. Oh, hey, listen, friend, you're at work. And I don't know why I'm just looking at her. Miss Emily, you're at work and you're working with nurses. They start cussing God. Hey, it's coming a day you're not going to hear more cussing. God bless you, sister. Man, you're at work, and I know a lot of people at work, Brother Bobby, Brother Keeney. Well, you're in a Christian school. It could happen there, too. It could happen in my pastor's office, too, this wicked pastor behind the pulpit here. But look, hey, the point I'm trying to make, my friend, listen. Hey, for those of you folks or some of you feel outnumbered, and you're trying to live right, and you're seeing the cussing, and the people who say they're Christians, they act like heathens. Like, wait a minute, you're a Christian? What's going on? Remember when I was working a part-time job out there in Mount Sterling? I heard a guy, he said he was a Sunday school teacher at a church. And as he tells me on the same breath, he tells this horrible, wicked joke. I said, wait a minute, you a Sunday school teacher? Give me a break. And you're seeing this, you're like, what's going on? Hey, praise God, there's coming a day. I'll never make an apology for that, ever. It's all going to change. So my point is, my friend, just take a stand, friend. Keep praising him. Keep praising him. I know it's not easy. I know you get worn down. I know you might get frustrated. I know you might even come to a place and say, what's the use? I try to live for God. I try to be a lighthouse at my work, at my community, in my neighborhood, and nothing is changing. Pastor, you tell us to be a lighthouse. Tell us to read our Bibles and pray. You tell us to live for God. I keep trying to do that, and nothing has changed. Number one, you have no idea what's going on in people's hearts, number one. You have no idea how you're affecting. If you're living for right, and you're not being a hypocrite. You're living a life that's pleasing to Him. And number two, there's coming a day. Folks, this is not home. We're just passing. One day we're going home. That's home. And that place is real as this place. So don't, friend, don't ever be ashamed to praise God in private and in public, no matter who is listening to you. Ask God for strength and direction to praise God all the time. And not yourself, to keep Him the priority. I know our flesh gets strong. I'll be the first. We all fall at times. I understand that. Ask for strength and direction to keep Him the priority, praising Him all the time, not ourselves. And above all, don't forget, it might seem like us who generally praise God without shame might seem like the minority right now, but there's a coming day when we'll be the majority. Amen. Don't ever stop praising Him, because one day we'll praise Him for all eternity. Those of us who are loved ones in heaven, right now are up there, and all they hear is nothing but praise the Son of God. The Bible says we are compassed about with a so great cloud of witnesses, I believe the verse says. I often think that verse talks about those who are up there kind of cheering us on, if you would. My own personal opinion. I often think those who are in heaven who are praising God, are around the Savior, cheering us on to keep on keeping on. Keep being that light in a dark world. Keep being that salt. Keep being the godly example to others, because it's worth it all. One day, we go home, praise the altar. So my friend, if you're at work, you're at Walmart, you're in a Dollar General, wherever you are, and you hear people cussing and tearing down the name of Jesus Christ, don't be ashamed to say, hey, praise God, it's a good day. Praise the Lord, one day He's coming back, we'll not hear that anymore. All eternity, praise the Lord. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Let me ask you all to bow your heads and close.